You're listening to Long Distance. I'm Paula Mardo. Okay, so when this podcast first came out, a lot of people were asking me, oh, it's Long Distance. So is it about long distance relationships? Well, sort of, but not really always in the romantic way, I guess. But guess what? This episode is, for once, about a long-distance relationship. In fact, it's a long-distance love story. And it all starts with a woman named Terry.
How big is your wedding? How many people are coming?
Well, as of now, it's increasing. First, we declared that we only have like 50 guests or less, but the headcount is right now, it's 62. Oh my God.
It's been 2 years since I first met Terry, and her big day is just around the corner. Yes, this love story comes with a wedding. But before we get to that, here's what you need to know about Terry. She's in her late 50s, with long black hair, big dark eyes, full of energy and stories. So many stories. Today, she's beaming and a little nervous, what you'd expect from a bride-to-be, especially when the guest count keeps going up.
I have the invite group in Facebook, and some are, you know, maybe, some are might, but all of a sudden, everyone like, cling, ding, ding, everyone, I'm going, you know, oh, hey, we're going, so it's, oh my God, plus one.
I'm in Terry's apartment in Los Angeles, and she's showing me all sorts of stuff. Flowers, decorations, the menu. A lot of preparation and thought has been put into this event, which makes sense because Terry's been waiting for this day a long, long time.
It's exciting, Paula. It's about time. Last time we talked, if you remember that I said, with or without visa, we're gonna get married.
As you can probably tell, Terry Villaseñor is pretty non-traditional. She's an activist, a caregiver, a mother, and soon a wife to June Maruzzo, who you'll meet in just a little bit. The love story of Terry and June is an epic one, like the kind you see in the movies or teleseries, I guess. And their love song would probably sound something like this. That's Terry's brother, Olin, strumming away as Terry continues with wedding prep. You'll meet him and other family members later. For now, we start with this story about high school sweethearts separated at graduation, then reconnected almost 40 years later. It's a love story that spans the globe and involves overseas work, struggle, and Facebook. All that on this episode, Long Distance Love Story. Nothing to hide. Believe what I say. So here I am with open arms and hoping you see what your love means to me. Open arms. So, let's rewind to the 1970s in Manila, Philippines. Terry and June were high school sweethearts, but only one of them knew it.
I love her since we're in high school.
He was my buddy, and he was my best friend, and I didn't even know that he got interest on me.
Terry didn't know because June had plans to become a priest. He grew up in the church with his Catholic family. He loved to sing in the choir. He even had an uncle who was a priest. It just felt like the right thing for him to do. So even though they cared for each other, Terry and June stayed buddy-buddy in high school, then parted ways after graduation.
Then after we graduate in high school, I go to seminary just for 3 months. And then I escape.
June is always full of laughs and jokes. But this story is true, supposedly. Seminary wasn't a good fit for June. He liked going to church and singing in the choir. But he started to think that maybe priesthood wasn't his destiny. So he and a friend hatched a plan. One early morning, around 1 a.m., they started collecting blankets.
My blanket, and then his blanket, and then we borrow one blanket from our friend also. We make it like a rope so we can go up with this wall, because the wall is around 10 feet, I think. Then we go.
Just like in the movies, June and his friend escaped. They scaled down a 10-foot wall and left the seminary for good. Here's the thing. June's house wasn't actually that far from the seminary. Technically, he could have just walked out the front door and walked home, but he said the priest wouldn't agree with him leaving. Plus, there was the thrill, the excitement of escaping. When June got home, his family was shocked. They asked what he was doing back, and he said,
I quit.
So June went to college, started working, got married, had kids. But the marriage didn't last. He wanted to get away from his ex-wife, and jobs in Manila weren't paying so well, so he applied for jobs in Saudi Arabia. In 1987, he moved to Saudi Arabia and became an OFW, or Overseas Filipino Worker. Like many Filipinos then and now, June found many jobs overseas paid better than jobs at home. He had good jobs in Saudi Arabia, first working for the government ministry, then for an Arabic newspaper. But success for June came at a price.
In Saudi, there's no life there. No cinema, no bar. You know that Saudi law. It's very strict there. We just only work there for the money, for the salary.
Saudi Arabia has movie theaters now, but they were banned for 35 years, from 1983 to 2018. June worked in Saudi Arabia for almost 30 years. And all that time, he never forgot about Terry.
4 times, I dream of her. 1989, 1992, 1998, and 2002.
In 2012, 37 years after graduation, June found Terry.
I'm always looking for her on the Facebook. I type her name and it doesn't come out.
June had an idea. He searched for his high school class.
Makati High School, batch 1976.
And then,
ting, voila.
Hi, remember me? That's what he said. I'm adding you as a friend. You're not accepting yet.
While June was in Saudi Arabia, Terry was in Los Angeles, working as a caregiver or a domestic worker for the sick and elderly. They were 8,000 miles apart, but they messaged each other almost every day.
Ingat ka po dyan. Lagi mong iisipin na mahal kita. I told her, take care always and bear in mind always that I love you very much.
We felt like we're in high school again. Yeah, but it was so corny. So corny because we're already old.
And then I told her, you look old. She told me, what do you expect? Sa hirap ng pinagdaanan ko. Because her life is so miserable. That's why.
Before coming to America, Terry was married to an abusive husband in Manila.
He's possessive. He is hitting me emotionally, physically. He is hurting me.
To make matters worse, Terry's husband left his job and gambled away their savings. So she had to take caregiver jobs overseas to support their kids and make ends meet. Her first job was in America, a contract position in Hawaii. But what she thought would be paradise turned into a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Terry worked for an old lady, cleaned her home, took care of her dogs. But Terry worked very long hours and did things that weren't part of the job description, like long massage sessions.
I have to give her a massage from the tip of her hair to the tip of the toes.
And her employer refused to feed her.
I really had to eat the dog food that time.
Terry would sneak in bites of food meant for the old lady's dogs. Shredded chicken with carrots and broccoli. One time, she even tried to eat canned dog food. She did have some dry cereal, which she brought in herself, but she had no milk to mix with it, and she had to portion it for her stay. She had no money to buy food for herself, and she wasn't allowed to eat the old lady's food.
I was shaking already every day. I was hungry, starving. I can't take it anymore. So I ended up calling the Kailua 911 police rescue.
The job was supposed to last 2 months, but it was so bad, she ended it in 22 days. The experience was traumatizing. Terry returned to the Philippines, but eventually, she got back into this work. She had to. But the thing is, she rarely got paid for these jobs, and it wasn't until later that she realized she was a victim of labor trafficking. When she finally got out, she followed one of her daughters who had moved to Los Angeles.
I worked from job after job. I was like homeless that time, trying to establish myself alone.
Terry got a divorce and wanted to restart her life. June was in a similar rut. He grew tired of living so far from friends and family in Saudi Arabia. That's when he sent Terry that fateful friend request. And after months of chatting, he saved up some money to visit her in LA.
Welcome to Los Angeles International Airport.
When I saw him at the airport going out and walking towards me, I said, "This is for real? Oh, he's still cute. Boog, 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 boog."
We just meet at the middle. And then I kiss her. Only in cheek. I whisper her, "I'm going to kneel and then propose with you to marry me." And then he told me, no, not here. He's scared.
Terry had overstayed her visa, and here she was, at an airport, with customs agents. She didn't want to attract too much attention, so June withheld his proposal.
When his visa is about to expire, I said to him, "So what's your plan? You can go back." He said, "No, I'm not going to leave you anymore with these things happening to you. We're going to live here."
Terry and June have lived together ever since.
Excuse me. Wow, you can hear it.
Terry is now a caregiver for employers that she says treat her well and give her fair pay. June is a maintenance worker and usually the house chef. Pork adobo is his specialty.
You have to put the cover and then wait.
We talk about Trump recently and we're thinking without immigrants in America, what's going to happen, you know? And if I get deported...
What's going to happen to me? I will not cook anymore. What's the use? I will cook and then I'm the one who will eat.
Terry and June are full of laughs. They're like your lovable Tito and Tita who crack jokes and make you eat lots of food. No, really, during this recording, they made me stay and eat a lot. It was good. But all jokes aside, Terry and June are at risk whether they want to admit it or not.
Open the door!
Please?
It's the police. Open the door.
After hearing rumors about an immigration raid targeting undocumented Filipinos, Terry and June attend a Know Your Rights workshop. Volunteers act out what to do if ICE comes knocking.
Let's do it again. I don't want to answer any questions.
I don't want to answer any questions.
Am I being detained?
Am I being detained?
Am I free to go?
Am I free to go?
And then if they start searching you...
The room is full of mostly Filipino men and women, like June.
We get some ideas how to deal with the ICE. You don't have to sign anything, and you don't give them permission to search you.
After the workshop, Terry leads the group in a song. She sings, The life of an immigrant is one long fight. Terry insists she and June are not afraid. But things change after they hear of an undocumented Filipino arrested by ICE and deported. This time, it's not a rumor. So now, Terry and June are trying to keep a low profile. They're more careful now, but they remain hopeful. Remember when June tried to propose to Terry at the airport? It didn't work out, but they do want to get married. Someday.
Have you thought about what your wedding's going to be like?
Just a simple wedding, like somewhere in down the beach, like that. So that's my dream. I already have a gown, and he got his suits.
Oh my God, you guys are ready.
We're ready. Yeah, we're ready.
Why don't you just do it?
Yeah, we'll do it soon. Yeah, no matter what, we'll do it soon.
There's an old saying in Tagalog, bahala na. Loosely translated, it means...
if certain things happen, it's gonna happen.
It's how Terry and June view their situation. Fate brought them together, and fate will keep them together. Here, no matter what.
We have established a good life here in America. We built our dream after 37 years, but if I'll be deported, I'll fight for my rights until the last breath. I'll fight for it.
We'll fight. fight.
What are you singing? What's your song?
Michael Bublé.
This for you. Wow. More sound. Yeah. More sound, please.
Yeah.
At a community center, June sings at a makeshift karaoke bar. Terry takes a selfie with him. A souvenir photo to add to their unending Facebook timeline. Another chapter in their love story, 4 decades in the making.
But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Oh, I know that the music's fine, like sparkling wine. Go and have your fun. Laugh and sing, but while we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. And don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So, darling, save the last.
A version of the story originally aired on KQED's The California Report in April 2017. But Terry and June's story is far from over. A lot has changed since then. When I first worked on this, after months of reporting, Terry and June had asked me to change their names. They were understandably concerned. This was just after Donald Trump was sworn in as president. ICE raids and deportations were all over the news. And someone in their community was deported. So we used pseudonyms for Terry and June in that original story. But for this podcast, they asked me to use their real names. Why? That and a wedding after the break. Hey, Patrick.
Sup?
You know how Long Distance is now part of the Google Podcast Creator Program with PRX? And how we're hard at work at developing Long Distance into the best podcast possible, finishing season one while also working on season two?
Yeah, and making Long Distance TV.
Exactly. Right now, we really need help from our listeners.
Oh, yeah? How can they help?
Well, we have a survey.
A survey?
Yeah. We have a long-distance survey on the website right now. It's really short and seriously takes 2 minutes, tops. And it would really help if you, our listeners, that's you, I'm talking to you guys, would take 2 minutes of your day to fill it out.
I just did it. So easy and fast.
Exactly. So please, listeners, help us make the best podcast ever and head over to longdistanceradio.com/survey. Again, it takes 2 minutes tops and it would help so, so much. Thank you.
Maraming salamat.
Now back to the show.
Previously, on this long-distance love story, Terry and June vowed to be together forever, no matter what. June tried to propose to Terry at the airport, but Terry said to wait. Fast forward to the summer of 2018. June, to be exact, the month. Not June, the guy. Our narrator, Paula Mardo, picks up the story from here.
Thanks, Patrick. I mean, soap opera dude.
No problem.
So, yeah. I'm back with Terry. I'm in her kitchen, and she's making a dessert, cassava cake. Only instead of cassava, Terry is using grated sweet potato.
This is the sweet potato. I'm going to put butter, egg, and I'll put a little bit of cream cheese, a little bit of condensed milk, and I'll put it in the oven, 350 degrees. Okay.
Then June comes in.
Yes, yes, baby. Oh, are you going to put everything in the car? Yes. Okay, I have another set. Yes, okay. Yes, you can.
All right.
June walks in and out of the apartment. We'll get to him in a bit. First, just know it's been over 2 years since I first met Terry and June, and so much has happened. Terry got a T visa. It's a type of visa that allows victims of human trafficking to remain and work in the U.S. for a couple years. That's why Terry, and even June, feel comfortable about using their real names for this story. And they feel it's the right time to tie the knot. So yes, Terry and June are finally getting married. When I first met them in 2017, Terry was working on her papers for her T visa, but she didn't know if she'd get it. So she wanted to find out before getting married. She told me she and June would get married, with or without the visa, no matter what. But now that she has it, it's a sigh of relief. While June remains undocumented, Terry calls this their path to citizenship.
I'll take care of June, no matter what. I'll take care of him.
Besides the visa and the wedding, there are other big changes in their lives. Terry's daughter and granddaughter, Laureen and Zoe, have moved in and are helping out with the wedding. Terry's excited.
I'm imagining, you know, how it looks like. Your hard work, Laureen. She's a very good wedding curator.
I don't have any choice. I'm a daughter, too.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have any choice. I'm the daughter of the bride, too.
Yeah. I'm the daughter of the maid of honor.
Laureen is one of Terry's kids. They're all in the Philippines, but Laureen married an American man and moved to L.A. That's part of the reason why Terry ended up here. There's more to that story, but all you really need to know is that right now, Terry is happy to have one of her children and granddaughter living with her. Now, back to Terry and June's story. They've been married to different partners before. As you heard earlier in the episode, both marriages did not last. Terry says she cried at her first wedding, that it was a huge disaster, which pretty much foreshadowed the rest of that relationship. So this time, they're taking a more non-traditional approach. A simple ceremony at a beach in Malibu, just a few hours' drive away. They invited close friends and family. A chef friend is helping make food. Maid of honor Laureen is also the event planner and decorator. The apartment is scattered with glittery knickknacks and souvenirs made from arts and crafts supplies and inspired by Pinterest boards.
So it is very non-traditional.
Yes. Yeah. Very non-traditional. Yeah. Yes.
She likes to be different. Like I said, she likes being extra.
Yes, I like being extra. Yes, yes, I like being extra.
For the record, if you can't already tell, Terry is extra. But that's just who she is. Outgoing, outspoken, cheerful, fierce, and loving. Even after going through so much in her life, Plus, she and June are a little traditional. Even though they're already together, they want that formal wedding ceremony to finally seal their relationship and mark the start of a new chapter of their lives together.
I'll be turning 59, so I never ever thought that I will experience these beautiful events. I've been dreaming that one day I want to be, you know, get married in the ocean, by the shore.
I catch up with June outside in the parking lot. He's packing up the car with a fold-up table, bins and bags of stuff.
Terry told me a story. What did she tell you last night?
She told me, oh, we're getting married. I'm so excited. He said, boo. And I said, yucks.
June is always full of zingers. But then I ask him.
Okay, how do you feel? You're going to get married tomorrow. How do you feel?
Of course, I'm excited. And I feel nervous sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel it. But it will be, everything will be okay tomorrow.
It's the big day, we're in Malibu on the beach, and things are not going as planned. The sun's gone and it's windy. Big white tents that June and his friends had put up are flailing around. Right now, the music isn't working and Loreen is scrambling to get guests in place by the shore and the bridal party in position for their walk down the aisle. It's a little chaotic, but eventually, things get started. Terry's granddaughter Zoe sprinkles rose petals along the sand. Terry follows her bridesmaids down the aisle. It's a mostly older crowd who've probably been to a fair share of weddings before. But this one is special. Everyone's a lot more relaxed. They giggle and crack jokes. When Terry reaches her groom, they settle down as Terry's brother strums a guitar and starts to sing.
Lying beside you, here in the dark, feeling your heartbeat with mine. Softly you whisper, you're so sincere, how could I love be so blind? Sail on together, we drifted apart. I'm here with all by your side. So now I come to you with open arms, nothing to hide. Believe what I say. Hoping you see what your love means to me. Open arms.
Thank you very much. Indeed, this is a happy moment, right?
Yes.
Wow.
I watch Terry and June, happy as ever, as the pastor begins the ceremony. He reads a Bible passage and gives some advice on marriage and family. At this point, it's all formalities, really. Terry and June know what it means to be together. They've lived long lives and have been through a lot, on their own and with each other. Their story isn't over, but for right now, this wedding ceremony filled with laughs and love is all they need.
June.
So they say their vows.
I.
Terry.
Terry.
Exchange their rings.
I love you, baby.
And finally, reach the end of this chapter of a love story 4 decades in the making.
You may now kiss the bride.
That really was a wedding to remember. You were there, Patrick. Wasn't it great?
The best.
Yeah, and I'm happy to report that since then, Terry and June are still living happily ever after. They say not much has changed since they got married. June has the same job as a maintenance worker. They're still working on his documents, but for now, all is good. Terry's daughter, Laureen, and granddaughter, Zoe, are still living with her. And Terry has kept her same caregiver job. But she's also now working with nonprofit groups to help victims of human trafficking and domestic violence. This episode was written, mixed, and produced by me, Paula Mardo. Co-producer is Patrick Epino. Cover art is by Selena Calma, with title design by me. Theme song is by Sea Light and the Prisms. Music in this episode is by Blue Dot Sessions and D. Yan Key. Special thanks to Sandy Tolan, Karen Lowe, Sasha Coca, and my radio documentary classmates at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School of Journalism for helping workshop the original story about Terry and June that aired on KQED's The California Report. It was part of a series of radio stories produced in that class, and you can listen to the original story on the California Report website and at longdistanceradio.com. I want to share scenes from the next episode with you. But first, we're at episode 5. Oh my goodness, woohoo.
This is for real? Book, 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 book.
We have 2 videos about some recent trips that we took. First to Boston for the Google Podcast Creator Program Boot Camp, and Brooklyn, where we had a fun meetup with long-distance listeners. It's on Long Distance TV, the video series about the making of Long Distance Podcast. Check it out at longdistanceradio.com/LDTV or head over to youtube.com/National Film Society. National Film Society is Patrick's awesome YouTube channel and production company that Long Distance TV is now a proud part of. Okay, so don't forget, please, please, please take the Long Distance Podcast Survey. It takes 2 minutes and you can do it at longdistanceradio.com/survey. So go on, do it right now. It will help so much. Thank you. Last thing, find and follow Long Distance on all the socials, at Long Distance Radio on Instagram, hashtag Long Distance Radio on Twitter. I'm at Paula Mardo. Patrick is at Patrick Epino. We're also on Facebook. Like the Facebook page and join our super special, super dope group, Long Distance Radio Club. Now, on the next and final episode of this season of Long Distance.
He had a sketch pad and he was sketching. I'd look and I'd go, wow, he said, what do you think? And I go, yeah, it's pretty cool, different. I didn't know what they were. It was like, it wasn't until after made Star Wars and I go, wow, shit, that was George Lucas, man. Actually, he was sketching for Star Wars. But supposedly, there's a picture of my dad on the wall. He patterned, what's his name, the little guy, I can't think of his name.
Yoda?
Yoda, yeah. Supposedly, Yoda was patterned after my dad. And I think they...
That's next time. Thanks for listening. And if you say you love me, I'll be the one to set you free.